We deepen our walks, Father God. We learn from your word. We pin it to our hearts, Father God, for the week ahead. Lord, as we come in here this morning, we get strength, dear Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will give everybody exactly what they need for this week. To remember that your love covers all. And we do remember the type of suffering that even Paul went through, dear God. But he did it all for your glory. He did it all for you, Jesus, to win one more to Christ. Father, be with us, dear God, as we do the same things, as we start our weeks, may we have our eyes set upon you. And dear Lord, may we go out and make as many disciples as we can. Father, share in your word, and dear God, being exactly who we need to be for you. Now, Lord, be with us over these next few minutes. And Father God, just help us to understand what Paul was talking about to Timothy and how he learned from it and what he did with it. Father, we love you and we thank you. These things I ask in your most holy and precious name. Amen. As we thought this morning back at the beach, I stood in the ocean at one point and I looked out and I thought, my goodness, how, you know, large, vast, big, deep, wide, any metaphor you could come up with is completely awesome. And we got to see like some manatees in the water, and we saw some dolphins. I had an encounter with a jellyfish. He got me on my stomach. But it didn't hurt, but he left some scar, and I can tell you that. But it's amazing how that's how it reminded me of God's love for me. And how large and how vast and how deep and wide it goes. God gave us his word. We think about this Bible. And it's a simple message today. It truly is. But the Lord had laid on my heart to kind of take things back to the basic. Because sometimes I can get a little overwhelmed and a little uptight when it comes to things and how I think things are supposed to go. But there's no set path for them. It's just what's in my head and how I think it should go. And I think you know what I'm talking about there. But if you think about 66 books in this Bible, you think about over 40 authors right in that area, 40 servants, basically, because the Word of God flowed through these people when they wrote this book. And it's a handbook for us for life. God loved us so much that not only did he gave us his son, but he gave us his word. Think about that for a minute. And when you think about all those grains of sand across that beach, and when you think about everything that happens in a daily life or a daily day with you, that God has his hand right on top of you, leading you, guiding you, and directing you. Now, I'm not saying we don't have to do our part in that, and because we do. We need to spend time with him. We need to search him out in the scriptures, right? We can't just carry about our day-by-day normal thing and never pay attention to God's word. It's a give and a take is what it is, where we have to spend time with him. You know, I want you to look right there at 12 through 15. Look at God's word again, it says. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Paul telling Timothy, while evildoers and apostles will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Paul is telling Timothy right there, don't forget what made you wise. This is what makes the Bible like no other book in the world, because it flowed from the heart of God rather than man. through God's word, the Holy Spirit can speak directly to us. Would you believe this is still the number one selling book in the world, the Bible? It truly is. Over, right at 3.9 billion copies is what I saw, or something like that. Number one book in the world. Most of us have more than one in our homes. But yet, why do they still look so new? Oh, what are we missing there? Are we missing spending time in God's word? Question is, are we using the tools that God has given us? Are we doing our part? Or are we in cruise control? You know, we can learn from other people in our church. I'm going to give you an example. So, kids and I were down on the beach, and the Wednesday night before we left, we had our meeting. It was a short group in here, and I was telling them how excited I was about my drone, and I'd gotten this little drone. I didn't spend a lot of money on it, okay? It wasn't an expensive one. It wasn't anything crazy, but I had this drone, and you put your camera on top of the little remote. Oh, this thing was, it was cool. It wasn't much. It was under $100, okay? So I didn't lose a lot. And I was so excited about it. And I was telling the Wednesday night crew that I've got it. And you know what, Brother Alvin, because his name came up on our vacation, Brother Alvin said, you might not want to fly down there at the beach because the wind is going to be too strong. And I thought, well, that's good advice. Well, sure enough, when we got down there, that first day, the wind was just wow through there. And you stayed cool. You didn't sweat. It was just strong. Winds were just taking off. And so we waited until, like, I would say the most non-windiest day we had. And I thought, oh, this is it. And we had already seen, like, a manatee out there. And we had seen, like, a dolphin over here. Now, keep in mind, I have no one within 100 yards of either way of me. There's nobody around me. I'm by myself. I have my tent. It's set up. I'm underneath it. All the kids are out. We're all right there together. And so I told one of the kids, we're going back up to get a snack. And I said, bring me back the drone. It's time to fly. And I'm going to put my camera and we're going to go get some awesome shots over the water. So I settled into my chair, which, remember, I can't get out of fast. That's a given. I'm not going quickly. I'll tell you that. So you got to roll out. So I picked up I put the drone out in front of me right there on the sand, and I said, oh, this is going to be perfect. Loaded up my phone, connected it. I've got my picture. I pick it up, right into the weeds right behind me, or the little, you know, where the turtles come out, turtle crossing. And I said, okay, well, that didn't work. And so Emily was like, well, I think you probably did it wrong. I said, you're probably right. But keep in mind, I'm not a professional drone expert. I don't have a whole lot of experience with this. But Brother Alvin's words were in the back of my head. Maybe you shouldn't do that because the wind is so strong. But Anna said, well, here, Daddy, let me try. I said, well, what's the worst that can happen? I mean, it's just going right over there. So I said, oh, you go for it. And Anna and Gil are really good at flying the drone at home. You know, we've practiced. They did. They're pretty good at it. So I thought, well, what's the worst that can happen? Anna, you up there, right? So Anna puts the drone down and she says, oh, Daddy, you don't know what you're doing. Let me have it. The drone picks straight up in the air. And I was like, oh, wow. And it was straight. And all of a sudden, it left. Anna promised she did not touch a thing. But the drone was from here to there in no time. Well, Anna's gone from to running after the drone because it ain't stopping. Apparently, it's in the vortex, Brother Alvin. It's in the wind, and it's gone. Well, the next thing you know, it gets about 120 yards. I'm still in the chair because I can't get up. I'm just watching it. Well, I noticed the drone is becoming smaller and smaller, and so is Anna as she's running. And I was like, well, this ain't good. Well, then I see the drone go out over the ocean. And I was like, oh, no, this ain't good. And then the drone comes back, and I said, yeah, she's getting it back. The drone goes back out. And it disappears over the horizon. And I see Anna, then puts down the thing. She's a dot, but I'm watching her. And then she enters into the ocean. And I thought, she's pinpointed it. She's going to get it. She walks back empty-handed. The drone is gone. And I thought to myself, I heeded Brother Alvin's advice. And I took it to heart. But I didn't listen. He was right. My point is, I think there's a lot of godly counsel in this room. And we need to be listening to what we're hearing. Doesn't matter who it comes from. Now maybe Brother Alvin, and I don't mean to pick on him. He's sitting right over there. I ain't picking on him. But maybe he had a drone at one time, and maybe he flew it down at the beach, and he lost it. Maybe he was speaking from experience. I'll never know that. Or maybe he was just speaking from common sense. There's too much wind for a cheap drone. He should know better. And I came back. Anna came back out of breath, and she had that little remote with her. And I said, we'll go down there and take a look. And we went out there and searched. We couldn't find it. And I even asked the people I saw over there. I was like, if y'all see a drone, it's ours. He was like, we ain't seen that. I was like, yeah, I know. I don't think I'm going to see it either. Because technically, we don't know where it went down. That cruise control made me realize that sometimes we're like that in life. We're standing there watching something, and the next minute we're running. And it happens just like that. Life does that to us. But if we heed the godly counsel, because a lot of times in our lives, we're kind of guilty of getting in cruise control is what it is, guys. And we're sitting back and everything's going just as good as it can be. And a lot of times God's warning us, God's heeding us, telling us what we need to do. There's people around us telling us we're learning from it. But we're not acting on it. We need to always be looking. When God gave us His scripture, He gave us His mind, is what He did. So we can learn from this word, and we can apply it to our lives to make our walks with Him better, closer, exactly what He wants them to be. Because as we graduated our seniors a few weeks ago, and we talked about them being at the crossroads of life, adults are all the time too at the crossroads of life, with decisions to make and what to do. We need to be leaning on God's word even more than ever. We do. We need to be leaning on it and applying it to our lives and spending time with it, because it works. God's there to listen, and it works when we do our parts. We have to be active in it. We have to be a part of it. We have to keep our eyes open and always looking. We do. It's part of your Christian walk. Now look at what, think about this real quick. God's word is both inspired and profitable for all the ways the Lord walks in our lives. He works through Scripture. Paul shares with Timothy right there where the Scripture come from. But look at how straight to the point he is. Look at verse 16 right there and look at what he says. Look at how he words it. He says, all Scripture is God-breathed. And it is useful. He gives four things: teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let's talk about those four things real quick. To teach, even when when no one is around to instruct us, God can reveal himself through Scripture. Amen? Amen, he can. We have to be applying ourselves into God's Word. His ways, how to follow him, how to honor him through the choices we make. He teaches us about ourselves, about others too, how to have healthy relationships and how to handle situations that come across in life. Because those situations are going to happen. You might be standing there flying something one day. You could be flying your drone, and the next minute you're running after it. And it happens like that. That's life. My cousin surprising me this morning. Wow, what a blessing. I had no idea he was coming. It totally threw me off my game a little bit. You know, like, wow, he showed up and he's all the way from Georgia. What a wonderful, sweet, sweet thing, Darren. I appreciate that. It's huge to have support. And he's one of the YouTube watchers also. So there's, Leslie, we know where one is. One of the rest of them. We're thinking the other 150 was Rona's friends is what I was thinking, but I'm not sure, but we're going to get to the bottom of it. But think about the next thing he says about there. He says, John, he says, the second thing he says is rebuke, reprove. Says God exposes through the Bibles the attitudes and beliefs, habits that affect our relationships with Christ so we can change our course if we need to. John 8:32 says, and Jesus said, if you hold on to my teaching, you really are my disciples. If you hold on to my teaching, you really are my disciples. And then he says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Is that good news to you today? That the truth will set you free. He says, correct. Through the word, God also helps you get on the right path, restore us, improves our life, our character. He makes us complete. But we tend as humans to get into the cruise control and get so comfortable in life that sometimes we miss so many of the blessings. Another story for you. On the way down, I'm in the passenger seat and Tanya's driving. And I'm in what they call my kickback mode. So my feet are out and my chair's reclined and my hands are just like this. And I like just watching the people as we drive past them, whatever the case may be. This is on I-75, long road and a busy road. And this is what inspired this message today. I passed a guy who was sleeping while driving. He was driving, and he was by himself, Trey. And I was watching, and I passed him, and his head was like this. He was asleep. And I told Tanya, oh, sweet Jesus, that man's done had a heart attack. Tanya said, nope, that's a Tesla. I said, a what-a?
A what-a?
She said, that's a Tesla. It's driving itself. I said, oh, you got to slow down. This has got to be one of those moments, right? I mean, can we test this? So the car's in auto. The car's in automatic, and it drives itself. Tim, this is crazy. No, this don't happen. So it's got these, then I go to Googling it, right? I'm looking. Now you got my curiosity piqued. This joker can sleep. While we're on I-75, the car's doing 65 to 70 miles an hour. He's sleeping. His hands are not on the wheel. Man. Have you ever, we all live in the country. Have you ever lost your cell signal? Yes. Ron, it's horrible at our house. You know that. It don't work. What if that car lost its to settle. What's telling it to stay right there? Y'all, my faith is way bigger than that. It's so much bigger. I can't do that. You're talking about being in cruise control for Christ. Don't go to sleep at the wheel. Don't do it. I don't care if your car does. You know, my truck's even got the auto back up. I don't trust that. I don't even know how it works. What am I supposed to do? Turn the knob? And I don't even get it. But this man was asleep. And I thought to myself, self, wow, that's the bravest guy I've ever known. He must be so close with Jesus, Trey, that he's giving up. There's a halo over the car. I mean, God is protecting this man, right? That's what I was thinking. And I was like, Tanya, just hit the brakes and let's just swerve and see if the car does anything. That's my first reaction. Tanya wouldn't do it. I'm like, let's have some fun. Kids, let's watch this. Let's see. He's asleep. So what happens if we tap the horn? Does he open his eyes? No. So I'm thinking, man, if we back off, and Tanya's like, I am not swerving into the car. I said, I'm not telling you to swerve in. Let's just get close. Let's see if we can see what happens. If we startle him, I'll wave and tell him I love him, and we'll keep going. Guys, autopilot is fine if you live in a perfect world. Amen? Perfect world. That means it's 70 degrees every day outside. There's 0% humidity. There's no sunshine. There's maybe a cloud that passes at 2 o'clock. It's a perfect world. You know what I mean? You don't sweat. All the bills are paid on time. All the kids act right. They don't backtalk Trey. None of that. I'm telling you, perfect world. Autopilot's good. But you and I know we don't live in the perfect world. That storms come and storms happen. And they backtalk too, and we cannot find ourselves getting into that cruise control so easily because that's what happens to us. God's word tells us too, and Paul is telling Timothy the younger, just like Brother Alvin tried to tell me, being older, he told the younger, he said, hey, I've been down this road, don't fly that thing. Paul's telling Timothy the same thing, to teach, reprove, correct, to train. Train yourself through Scripture. God trains you by renewing your mind. He's transforming us into the likeness of Christ is what he's doing. He's building us up. The work of God through the Word is powerful because think of all the things that he will do through you if you let him. That's what the most beautiful part is. You can be in cruise control with Christ all you want to. God's word tells us that we need to take this, not as a final charge to Timothy, but put your name in Timothy's spot. It's a final charge to Leslie. It's a final charge to Trey, to keep those things on our forefront. We do get into cruise control as Christians a little too often. We do. As I sat there this week on the beach, I had my little Charles Stanley devotional with me, and oh man, I can really fall in love with some Jesus when I just take the time and I let his word just penetrate my heart. And we all have those spaces, and we're thankful for godly examples. We are. Through our parents, through our older friends, whatever that might have been in our lives, man, we can really take away. My cousin Darren back there, we've shared Christ before with each other. He's an active deacon in his church. He's a wonderful person. It's amazing. The changes we want to make. We need to spend more time with God and his awesome word. We really do. To let it penetrate us. Because when you stand out in front of that ocean and you think about all those grains of sand, man, it'll really put you in place and really think about what's important in life. And if God's love, just like he tells us in his word, as far as from the east is to the west, it's amazing how big and how wide that love is for us. And what Jesus does in our hearts when we truly let him. There will be days, guys. I wish it did stay 70 degrees and no clouds and no humidity. But we don't live in that world. If we did, we'd probably be bored to death. God gives us those obstacles to overcome. His word right there. Look at the last part of what he says. This is the meat and potatoes of it. It's 17. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. A servant of God. It's exactly what we are. Remember God's word this week as you think about how the word of God teaches us, how it rebukes us, how it corrects us, and how it trains us is what it does. I hope today that if you're in the congregation this morning, and maybe you've been in cruise control too long, or maybe it's something you want to accept Christ for the first time, whatever God has laid on your heart, altar's wide open this morning. I could get deacons. I got deacons down here. If anybody needs to pray, come to the altar. You can pour your heart out. Maybe it's something you felt guilty about that you haven't been able to do, that you haven't been able to get to, or maybe you're to that point, but you don't know how to do it. And maybe you just need to say, hey, what's next? I'm confused. I don't know. I've been studying my Bible, and I feel like I'm at a crossroads, and I feel like I'm just not sure what to do next. Come and talk to somebody. Let them instruct you. Let them love on you. Let them pray for you. We all need this as God's people. We do. We need each and every one of these things. You know what? And maybe you've been running a long time from God. Maybe he's been laying something on your heart that says, the time is now. And you always have that excuse. You always say, oh, next week. Oh, my knee's hurting today. I can't walk down there. Whatever that reason, whatever that excuse may be, I ask that you press it on up to Jesus. And don't let it stop you today. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we are thankful, Lord, for this day that you have given us, sweet Jesus. We're thankful, Father God, for all the people that are in your house this morning. Lord, I pray, God, that none of us are in cruise control, Lord, and that we're doing exactly what we need to be doing for you, Lord, that we're keeping our eyes straight forward, Father God, and we're looking for you in every situation. Lord, be with us. Lead us. Guide us, Father God. We are your church, dear Lord, not our own, Father. We want you to be, Lord, in the driver's seat. Father God, you be with each and everybody that we mentioned on our prayer list, Lord. And we love you and we thank you, God. Forgive us when we fail you. Forgive us of our sins. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Everybody, please stand. Our closing hymn today will be
hymn number 413, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Do that today if you need to. And God bless each and every family here today. Whatever the case may be, come do it now.